Shall we pray? Father, we honor, worship and praise for the gift of prayer that you have given us. Today, Lord, as we talk about the necessity of prayer, we ask you, Lord, to enable us, O God, to understand that prayer is so much a part of Christian life. Prayer is where we recognize you as sovereign, Lord. Prayer is where we know that all things good come from you alone. They do not come from situations or circumstances. They do not come from the institutions of man. They come only from your heart. They come only through your provision, Father. So as we begin to look at this subject of prayer, as to why it is necessary for us to pray, we ask you to bless our hearts, to open our hearts, to open into our hearts, O God, the realities that stand in the spirit of prayer. Enable us to understand that if we do not pray, we will not receive anything from you, Lord. It is through prayer that we choose to receive from you, that we choose to address problems in our lives. It is through prayer that we choose to address situations and circumstances that are impacting us, O God, whether in the workplace, whether in the house, or whether in the church, Lord. So teach us, O God, to respond to all things through prayer, so that the victory of Jesus may be realized in every situation and circumstance of our life. We are called to be a people, O God, who will take authority over situations and circumstances. We are people called to exercise our faith. Enable us to understand today as you speak to us that that exercise of faith has to come out of a prayerful life, Lord. It is so necessary for each one of us to be able to commune with you, to be able to talk with you, and to be able to hear you speak to us. So bless this word, Father. Let it be your word. Let it be manifested by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And let it be unveiled to the glory of your majesty. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The necessity of prayer. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. We must first understand why we have been created. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. I'm reading from the old King James Bible. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." So God created us in his image, and he created us to exercise dominion. Dominion in the righteousness of God. Dominion in the power of God. Dominion in all that God is able to bring forth. So man was created in the image of God, meaning that man was subject to the fullness of God. God was supreme over man, but man was called to exercise dominion over the earth. Not dominion over other men, but dominion over the earth. Dominion over situations and circumstances. Dominion exercising the lordship of God. Man fell from that purpose when man questioned God's word. Let's carry on. Let's go on to the New Testament to understand that in Jesus Christ, God has called us to an even higher plane of authority. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to him. And he then instructs us to go therefore, in that authority and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So the authority that Jesus Christ is delegated to each one of us. And one of the areas in which we exercise that authority to have dominion in righteousness and holiness of the truth, in accordance to God's call upon our lives, in accordance to God's purposes over our lives, is something very fundamental to us, right? We have to exercise that authority that God has given us in Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and on earth stands in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is our inheritance and our possession. Let us see that from Ezekiel chapter 44. Ezekiel chapter 44. You know that the last 8 chapters of Ezekiel are a messianic vision. And in verse 28 of chapter 44, God declares something about him giving us his Messiah. And it shall be with regards to an inheritance for them that I am their inheritance, and you shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession. So if Jesus Christ is our inheritance and our possession, then all authority that stands in the name of Jesus is given to us in this reality of an inheritance and a possession. Obviously, you cannot inherit something if you're not prepared to receive it. Obviously, you're not going to possess something if you do not do something about it. So, all authority and power is invested in the name of Jesus, and the name of Jesus has been given to us as an inheritance and a possession, but we have to do something about that. We have to do something about that. And prayer is an area where we have to exercise the name of Jesus that God has given us. So if you don't pray and exercise what God has given you in the name of Jesus, you're not going to see what God wants to bring into your life. You will just become a victim of situations and circumstances. Worse still, you will become a victim of the enemy who stands as a thief and who wants to kill and to destroy you. All kinds of things happen in our lives, all kinds of situations and circumstances we go in through individually and as families, and prayer is the means by which we address those issues. So often we spend time complaining. So often we spend time meditating on the problem. So often we are looking at the wrong place. We are looking at wrong things. We are looking at areas where there are no solutions. We need to understand that when things seem impossible, it just simply means that you need God to bring forth an answer to the impossible. Let's look at John chapter 1, verse 12. John chapter 1. Verse 12. I want to read the Old King James, and I also want to read the New American Standard on this. John chapter 1, verse 12. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He gave them power. The Greek word there is exousia. Actually, that word also means authority. It also means having a right to something. So in the New American Standard, it is translated like this: but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, I want you to understand that word that is called become. The right to become. You have a right, but you must choose to become. Right? To become sons of God. And that's another reason why you need to pray, because sons of God are those who are willing to stand in the authority and power of the Lord who has made them sons. You are made sons of God in order to exercise what God wants you to exercise through your life, in the situations and circumstances that you live in. Now, one of the fundamental things you and I have to understand is that through prayer, we exercise that right as sons of God. Through prayer, we manifest the authority that will release the power of God into our situations and circumstances. All right? Let's look at another verse. Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. Truly I say to you, these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, truly I say to you, whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst. Praise the Lord. So you have power positionally to bind things on earth so that they will be bound in heaven. Now, why is it being bound on earth? Because we live in earth. But what we bind on earth, what we see as manifesting in situations and circumstances, have behind them an authority exercised from heavenly places. And so God says that if you bind on earth, it will be bound in heaven. It will be bound in heaven because the principalities and powers that operate in the earth from above will be bound. And he then goes on to say, if two or three of you are gathered in my name, and if you pray, I will be there in your midst to answer that prayer. Now that's why we pray as a church. It's important for us to understand that. And that's something we need to develop in this ministry, because we don't seem to be thinking that corporate prayer means very much. Looking at the attendance on Friday night prayer sessions, we seem to be thinking that I can do the same thing at home. Now this verse says that two is better than one. Simply because God's in our midst. So we have to learn how to exercise our rights as sons of God. We have to exercise the authority that God has given us in our positions as sons of God. As you exercise that authority and realize the results to that, you will rise higher and higher. As that authority of Jesus Christ is perfected into your witness, you will rise to a higher and higher plane of authority, and you will grow. Your spheres of influence will expand. So we start with small things, but God has the intent of taking us to high places. To high places. All right? Now, let me look at another verse, okay? Matthew chapter 16. Verse 18. In context, before verse 18, Peter declares that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that he is the Messiah. And then Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And then in verse 18, Jesus says, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now that rock is the rock of Revelation. The rock of revelation that God unveils in Jesus Christ. Right? Because he's talking here about the authority and power that is in the name of Jesus. And Peter has just declared the very foundations of that authority and that power as being unveiled in Jesus Christ. And so Jesus says, upon this rock, upon the rock of this revelation, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not overpower it. the gates of Hades shall not overpower it. That means we have power over every principality, power, might, and dominion. The intent of those principalities, powers, mights, and dominions is to send the human race into Hades. Alright? Or Hades. Verse 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Amen? Shall be loosed in heaven. So you have authority, and you have to exercise that authority. Right? You exercise that authority through prayer. Whether you are ministering to someone from a pulpit, you exercise authority through prayer. When you pray, you release that authority. Right? Whether you do it in your personal prayer closet, or we do it together in little groups, or whether we do it together as a corporate group, or you do it behind a pulpit as a fivefold minister, whatever you do, you exercise authority through prayer. You have to pray, whether you're praying for healing, whether you're praying for deliverance, whether you're praying for God to work in situations and circumstances, it involves some exercise of that authority that God has given you as sons of God. What is God trying to tell you? That God will not do anything on planet Earth except it comes forth from the people He has designated to call upon His name. When God created Adam and said, "You have dominion," He knew that Adam would have no capacity to have that dominion. Are you with me? Or if man tried to have dominion on his own, we would see the results in the chaos that we see on the world that we live in. So God, by giving Adam dominion, was implicitly also meaning that I have dominion over you. And if you want me to exercise that dominion over you and all that stands under you, you have to turn to me and ask me to come inside your situations and circumstances. So do you need to pray, or do you not need to pray? Some of you find it boring to pray. But when you have problems, I hope it catches your interest that you have a problem. And if you don't develop your prayer life, you're going to always be a victim of things that happen to you. You're always going to be a victim of someone else. You're always going to be a victim of situations and circumstances. So you have to learn how to pray. That's one of the reasons why we have the Word of God in our hands, so that we will learn how to pray. One of the problems in the Christian church is that we spend so much of time praying what is contrary to the Word of God. We pray our emotions. That's one of the reasons why so much of our prayer is not answered, because God cannot answer that prayer. So God has given you dominion, and you have to find out how to exercise that dominion. And that dominion involves the exercise of the Word of God. You have to pray the Word of God. You have to pray in the name of Jesus. And you have to pray by the Holy Spirit. But brother, you have to learn how to pray. Prayer, you have to grow. You have to grow into. You start by praying like a child, and you learn how to pray like a mature son of God. And it never stops growing. Prayer is an exercise of your faith. Faith is substance. And that substance of faith, when it's built in the name of Jesus, it carries the authority of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let me show you some situations in the book of Exodus that tell us that God did not do anything until Moses did something. And this should clearly tell you that although God was omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent, although God was the one who instructed Moses to do something, if Moses had not followed those instructions, nothing would have happened. Nothing would have happened. So let's turn to Exodus chapter 14. You know the context of this story. The children of Israel were standing next to the Red Sea. They were trapped at the Red Sea, I think. Was it the Red Sea? Anyway, yeah, the Red Sea. Verse 10 of chapter 14. And as Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became very frightened. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, "Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, 'Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." So they lifted up their eyes to the Lord, and they did not lift up their eyes in the right way. They were complainers. And you see that what they did after that was to go back to Moses and complain. "I have this problem. If you had just left me where I was, I wouldn't have this problem." Sometimes we become Christians from non-Christian backgrounds and we seem to have more problems. The answer is not to go back, but the answer is to turn and overcome what you are being afflicted with. Verse 13, "But Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent.'" So after saying those prophetic words very courageously and very bravely, there must have been a period where Moses turned back to the Lord and asked him help. So verse 15, the Lord then said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward." All right? "Tell the sons of Israel to go forward. And as for you, lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the sons of Israel shall go through the midst of the sea on dry land. And as for me, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I am honored through Pharaoh, through his chariots and his horsemen." And the angel of God, who had been going before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel. And there was the cloud along with the darkness, yet it gave light at night. Thus the one did not come near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept the sea back by a strong east wind all night, and turned the sea into dry land, so the waters were divided. So the waters were not divided until Moses stretched out his hand. Moses had to do something. Moses had to exercise that position that God has given him. In your growth as a Christian, you must exercise the fact that you are a child of God. If you are not going to exercise it, who is going to exercise it? So we cannot be defeated by situations and circumstances. We have to look beyond those situations and circumstances. We have to invite God into our situations and circumstances. You must understand, of course, that God does not do dishonest things. But you can understand that God will work in your situations if your situation is right before God. And you have to turn to God and ask Him to come. Ask Him to come. Okay? Verse 22, "And the sons of Israel went through the midst of the sea on the dry land, and the waters were like a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Then the Egyptians took up the pursuit, and all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen went in after them into the midst of the sea. And it came about at the morning watch that the Lord looked down on the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and brought the army of the Egyptians into confusion. He caused their chariot wheels to swerve, and he made them drive with difficulty. So the Egyptians said, 'Let us flee from Israel, for the Lord is fighting for them against the Egyptians.' Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Stretch out your hand over the sea, so that the waters may come back over the Egyptians, over their chariots and their horsemen.' So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal state at daybreak." All right? So Moses had to stretch out his hand again for that sea to close in on the Egyptians. Right? So if you don't do anything, nothing is going to be done. Right? You can pray, and then you must move in to claim your victory. And God will honor your faith. Because your faith is in who God is and in all that God is. All right? Let's look at a couple of other passages. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 4. Verse 2. Now we did these passages of scripture in the Bible school. So let's go over them. Exodus chapter 4, verse 2. So the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" He said, "A rod." All right, you know the story of Moses, so I'm not going to read the details, right? But basically, Moses met God at the burning bush. And here God tells him, "What do you have in your hand?" And he says, "I have a rod." What did he have? A piece of wood. Verse 17. "And you shall take this rod in your hand with which you shall do the signs." So God speaks into that rod. He tells Moses, "You shall use this rod for signs and wonders." So in verse 20, the last half of verse 20, it reads, "And Moses took the rod of God in his hand." Right? So Moses took the rod of God in his hand. Praise the Lord. So because God spoke into that piece of wood, it suddenly became the rod of God. You understand that? Before that, it was just a blooming piece of wood. But because God had a purpose for it, because God was going to use it through Moses, it became the rod of God, because God said so. In the same way, you need to understand that this rod is something that you have to think about with great care. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 17. Numbers chapter 17. "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the children of Israel,'" I'm reading from verse 1, "'and get from them a rod from each father's house, all their leaders according to their father's houses, 12 rods. Write each man's name on his rod. And you shall write Aaron's name on the rod of Levi. For there shall be one rod for the head of each father's house. Then you shall place them in the tabernacle of meeting before the testimony where I meet with you. And it shall be that the rod of the man whom I choose will blossom. Thus I will rid myself of the complaints of the children of Israel which they make against you." Basically, God was judging a situation that had come about amongst the Israelites. They were questioning authority. So God said, "Bring out the rods that each of the tribes had. Bring those 12 rods and put them in the tent of meeting right before the Ark of the Testimony." Verse 5. "And it shall be that the rod of the man whom I choose will blossom." Right? So God says, "I will do something supernatural." Verse 7. "And Moses placed the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness." So now the tent of meeting is being called a tabernacle of witness. Now you and I have a witness. You and I are a tabernacle of witness. Correct? 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. "He who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ has the witness in himself." So all of you are born again, and all of you have a witness inside of you. So all of you have already been chosen. Are you with me? You are born again, and if you are genuinely born again, you have been chosen. The witness within you is a witness that is meant to blossom. Blossom means to bear fruit. Okay. Verse 8. Numbers chapter 17, verse 8. "Now it came to pass on the next day that Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron of the house of Levi had sprouted out and put forth buds, had produced blossoms and yielded ripe almonds." So the question was settled as to whom God had chosen for his position of authority. There are several things that apply to us. You and I have a witness inside of us that has blossomed. You are born again. You are alive to God. God has undertaken to do a work in your life. I will repeat that. God has undertaken to do a work in your life. When you entered into the waters of baptism, you acknowledged that God was going to do a work in you, that he will bring to fulfillment his plans and his purposes with your life. In the resurrection power of the Lamb of God, in the reality of you standing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the reality of you being baptized into Christ and into his death, you will rise up in the power of his resurrection to become a new creation, to become sons of God. That's what your baptism meant. Amen? So you have a witness, and the purpose of that witness is so that you will realize what God has for you. Because you, no matter who you are, no matter where you have come from, are fearfully and wonderfully made. You have been known by God from the foundations of the earth. You are someone that God wants to do a great and awesome work inside. Inside. So you need to really understand that God has an awesome work in your life, that God means to do an awesome work in you and by you and through you. And through it all, he's making this witness inside of you, which was prefigured or was symbolized in the rod of Aaron, into becoming a living witness inside of you. You and I are called to function by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. You and I are called to live. The ability to function by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus is an ability that God wants to develop inside of you. And you will exercise that ability in the authority of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Now in this reality, we pray. In this reality, we pray. And it's so crucial for us to understand that an essential aspect of your growth as children of God, as sons of God, whether you're male or female, the Bible addresses you as sons of God, to know how to pray, to know how to ask God to manifest himself in your situations and in your circumstances, so that you will come to know the Lord your God, so that you will come to understand that God is involved in everything that takes place in your life, in your family, in your situations, in your circumstances, in your workplaces, that you do not live in isolation, that your Christian faith is not a churchianity, that your Christian faith is where you live it. It is in what you do every day. It is what is say and what you do every day. It is in your business. It is in your family. It is in the way you work as a professional, in the way in which you work, whatever kind of work you do. It is there that you bring the reality of God into your situations and circumstances. So if you are being bullied and being exploited by your employers and you're sitting there like a good guy, like a lamb for the slaughter, then you will surely be a lamb for the slaughter. If you do not ask God to get involved in those situations and circumstances and exercise the authority of God over those who are exploiting you, you will continue to be exploited. Now, work is a gift God has given us, but it has its limitations, it has its place. If you're working 12 hours every day, 7 days a week, boy, you are in trouble because you're going to be burnt out very, very fast. And you better take that to God because he did not ordain the Sabbath to be defiled. So there is a day of rest that you're entitled to by the law of God. So claim that. Don't sit there and say, oh my goodness, I'm an expatriate in this country. If they don't give me my pay, I will starve to death. You won't starve to death. And nobody has got authority over you except the Lord your God. Ultimate authority flows from him. So why don't you exercise your free will? Why don't you bring the injustice before God? And he will address it in his time. But you must bring it and you must keep him in remembrance. Don't let people just walk all over you. But then again, if you're a lazy person who's trying to get through life without doing any work, then you can pray until the cows come in and God ain't going to answer that prayer. Yeah? So you need to exercise that authority that God has given you. As young Christians, you can come and the pastor can pray for you. But as you mature as Christians, you must exercise that authority for yourself. Because you have to live in the name of Jesus by yourself. You are a son of God. You are a dwelling place of the living God. You are the person through whom the mystery of Christ is going to be revealed. You have been chosen already. So turn to the Lord and start seeing prayer as something that affects your life every day. And then see prayer as something that affects your city and your country. So you need to pray about issues in the land. Some issues we can't understand what exactly is right and wrong. Some issues have got all kinds of shades of gray. When you face issues like that, you just pray, God, just manifest your authority over this land, over the leaders of this land, that there will be policies that are manifested in righteousness. Now, some of those policies may take a couple of decades to be put into practice, but God can engineer the changes, provided you keep praying. If you just sit down and complain about the politics of the land, then you're just wasting your time and you're wasting your life. Worse still, you're killing the witness that is within you. So you and I must learn to pray instead of sit down and mumble and grumble and complain and gossip. We have to walk to a different witness. We have to walk before God. We have to bring our situations and circumstances before God. If you are facing a serious problem, then we need to pray together as a group. And we need to discern and understand what to pray for and what not to pray for. Because everything in the spirit realm functions on the basis of authority, in truth. If you try and exercise authority in falsehood, it will never happen. But if you exercise authority in truth, in accordance with the word of God, knowing and understanding that the timing of the solution is in the hands of God, then you will see answers to your prayer. Then you will see God move through your life. Praise the Lord. So you are a very powerful creation in the making. I will repeat that. You are a very powerful creation in the making. But so many of us prefer to hear what the world says of us. I'm not smart enough, I'm not educated enough, I'm not lucky enough. I'm not of the right race, I'm not of the right religion, I'm not of the right thing, and I'm not right this and that. And every time we say these things, we are putting ourselves deeper and deeper into the realms of darkness that the evil one runs. But Jesus Christ has spoiled the enemy. And we have to understand that all authority and power rests in the name of Jesus. And we have to exercise that authority in the righteousness of our God. God is doing a powerful work in our midst. Where you are living, in the situations in which you are living in, God wants to do a powerful work. So pray. Bring those situations before God. Bring your business plans before God. Bring your financials before God. Don't just borrow because somebody wants to give you an extra credit card. Take it before the Lord and ask Him, do I take this or do I not take it? Some of us spend money because there is a credit card, and in the end you end up being in debt. That is not the will of God. If you do not know how to discipline yourself in finances, for heaven's sake, don't take a credit card. Because you will just end up in more and more in debt. And definitely you don't need two credit cards. Even if you get a credit card, get a cash card. Because you never borrow on a credit card. If you borrow on a credit card, you're going to pay something like 18% to 24% of interest. You can go to the bank and borrow at 9%. Why you want to pay 18% to 24%? And if you use a credit card, use it as a cash card. So you pay up your bills 30 days after you receive them, so that you don't incur interest charges. But I'm going out of my sermon now. So we are here talking about prayer and the necessity of prayer. I just want to show you a few more verses in the book of Exodus where God moved when Moses did something. Now there's no doubt that God told Moses something before Moses did it. Okay? So for example, in Exodus chapter 9, verse 22. Exodus chapter 9, verse 22. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand towards heaven, that there shall be hail in all the land of Egypt, no on man, on beast, and on every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt." And Moses stretched out his rod towards heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire darted to the ground, and the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. Right? Why couldn't God just let the hail fall himself? Why did he have to go through Moses? Because he chose to delegate authority on planet Earth to mankind. Why did he do that? Because it is part of growth into sonship, responsible stewardship, learning how to function the right way. God cannot make us kings if we cannot do simple things the right way. God cannot make us kings to reign in heavenly places if you and I can't do simple things in our life the right way. Yeah? So God expects us to discover Him in the circumstances and situations of our life. And we have to discover that for ourselves. We have to discover our God for ourselves. Because you are called to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You're only going to learn to love God as you see Him manifest His fruitfulness, His abundance in your life. You're only going to understand what God has given you when you actually realize the changes, when you actually realize the blessings. Only then does the human heart respond. You can look at Jesus being crucified 1,000 times, pictorially. Hasn't it occurred to you that we forget very easily? But when you understand that the blessing is flowing into your life because He paid a price for you, then His crucifixion has got meaning to you in what's happening in your life. Even then we forget. Even pastors in ministry forget and betray the Lord. Even those chosen to be apostles like Judas betrayed Him. So we need to understand that prayer is the means by which we come into a relationship with God. Prayer is something we have to persevere with and pursue. It is so necessary and crucial for us to pray. Now there are several tapes that we have produced on prayer and how to pray. Praying through the Word, praying in the name of Jesus, praying by the Holy Spirit, praying in the context and the reality of being part of the body of Christ. It is in a series there. That is in the tape library. You take them and you read them. I mean, you take them and you hear them. But it's absolutely necessary that you develop a prayer life. So I hope, as a consequence of this teaching, that we'll see a few more of you on a Friday. Come and pray. If there are particular issues you want to pray about, we will pray about it as a group. And we will see breakthroughs manifest. So come and pray. You have to learn how to pray. It's one of the greatest skills you possess as sons of God. Let's turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 11. verse 9. And these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what he says from verse 9. And I say to you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it shall be opened. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish, he will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now here the Lord says, for you to be able to ask, to seek, and to knock, you need the Holy Spirit. For without the Spirit of the living God, we cannot do anything right. That's why the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. That's why the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Life. That's why the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Grace. If you turn to Matthew, you will see that God tells us this in a different way. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I seem to have lost my passage of scripture. Hold on, please. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 11. Ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. Verse 11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him? Give what is good. Sometimes we must understand that God's idea of good and our idea of good can be very different. But you have to pray, because God's always right. If God decides to do a correction while he also rewards you, you must understand that it is necessary. So when we pray, we need to pray understanding that God will answer the prayer in his way. He will answer the prayer in the way he sees fit. He will answer the prayer because he knows best. And you and I have to trust him. You and I have to walk in the understanding that God is to be trusted always. Who else can we trust? So please pray. Please learn how to pray. Don't sit there and murmur in your situations and circumstances. Pray with faith. Pray with faith. Pray with faith. So important to pray with faith. Because when we pray with faith, God does something in us that is powerful. You see, prayer has the intent of increasing your prayer, increasing your faith as well. Because God wants to build a witness inside of you. He wants to build the substance of that witness. He wants to build that evidence that that witness can realize. So it is a complicated process that God intends to do with you and me through prayer. God is trying to build something inside of you and me. And what he is building in us has got ramifications in eternity. Always remember There are things that you can realize while you live in this earth that you will never realize once you have gone to be with the Lord. There are things that you can realize on the earth of God that you will never realize if you are sitting in heaven today. So make use of prayer. Make use of prayer so that you can discover what God has for you. Let's turn to Mark chapter 11. Verse 22. Chapter 11 of Mark, verse 22 to 24. And Jesus answered, saying to them, "Have faith in God." If you look at the original translation, it actually says, "Have the faith of God." If you look at the literal translation of this passage, you will find that it means, "Have the faith of God." So ultimately, God has the intent of building in you and me the faith of God. Now, how do we realize the faith of God? Because we are called to partake of the faith of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. And Jesus authors and finishes our faith in His faith. So if you keep your eyes on the Lord and expect to walk into the things that God has for you, you will realize the faith of God that will enable you to realize all things. But here, principally, God is talking about prayer. And this is so important. "Truly I say to you," verse 23, "whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray, ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted you." They shall be granted you. Praise the Lord. How does answered prayer come? Answered prayer comes into your witness, and you know that you have something. So who gives you that confidence? That confidence comes out of what God manifests inside of you in the testimony of Jesus. So it's a process that God has begun in our lives. And so through prayer, God means to take us into deeper and higher realms of prayer. He means to build a witness inside of us of Aaron's rod that budded. Ultimately, God wants to manifest prayer in a realm where the faith of God works through us, and prayer is answered in the witness and testimony of God alive within us. When that happens, we will truly be functioning as sons of God. Just imagine if you can function in the faith of God, when you can see what God wants to do. God gave you a simple example through Moses, right? He told Moses things that Moses couldn't comprehend. But he simplified it simply by saying, "You just stretch out your rod and it's done," right? And all in the end, all Moses did was, he couldn't comprehend many of the things that God gave him. He couldn't understand how it would come forth, but he just simply stretched out his hand. But in the new covenant, God ultimately means for us to understand and move into things that are far beyond what we know and understand today. It's a big process that God means to start and develop in our lives. So take hold of what God has for you. Many of us want to be blessed. In order to be blessed, you must move into a position to be blessed. And that is a walk of faith. Faith is not Santa Claus just handing out anointings and giftings. So you have to exercise that faith, and the evidence of that faith will be built into your life as you rise from step to step to step to step. And at every step, God will bring into your life a demand for greater faith. You look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith, and you pray what God wants to bring forth in your life. If you don't understand what God wants to bring into your life, you just pray in tongues. If you don't understand what God wants to bring into your situations and circumstances, you just pray in tongues. Why? You pray in tongues because what God wants to bring forth is a mystery to you. It does not matter if you don't understand what God is doing. Because if you can pray in tongues, you can bring forth things that you don't understand. There may be things happening in your life that you have got no answers for. You can't understand that every time you come close to closing a deal, it suddenly seems to be somebody just takes it away from you. Obviously, there's something happening in your life. Obviously, there are things that are happening in your life. The thief is robbing you. How clearly has it got to be? And you keep on doing the same thing, complaining and grumbling and complaining and grumbling. When have complaints and grumbled ever solved anything in human history? Complaining and grumbling only creates new problems. Destroys relationships, destroys the atmospheres at home, destroys the work ethic, destroys everything in our lives. So what we see in our natural lives is also real in our spiritual lives. God is doing a great work in our midst. But that great work has to be something you have to grow into. There's no such thing as failure being manifested in your life. It is not the intent of God for you to keep on failing. Don't let the thief come in. Exercise your authority. Speak forth. Speak forth. Satan, you have got no stronghold over my life. You have got no access over my spheres of influence. I command you in the name of Jesus to walk out and never come back. But when you do that, you must also understand that you must be walking in a living relationship with God. That authority is not just simply given. Authority is given in sonship. Authority is given when that sonship is a state of being inside of you. Are you exercising the fact that you are a son of God, or do you live like a pagan and expect to be rewarded as a son unto God? How can the two come together? You live like a pagan and you want to be a son unto God. You have a problem with lust, you don't deal with the problem of lust, and then you go to God and you pray. How is God going to answer your prayer? At least you should be taking that problem to God and asking Him to deliver you, so that God can, in that process of delivering you, also bless you in other areas. We have to walk into what God has for us. It's so crucial, it is so important. Our lives are so important. Our lives are so important, individually, personally. Our lives are so important in the context of the testimony of the church and for the future of humanity. So pray. Please pray. Stand in the gap and pray for your loved ones. It's pointless being emotional about your brother who drinks too much. It's not going to solve his drinking problem. If you're not willing to sit down and pray for him and fast and pray that the yokes of alcoholism are broken over his life, they won't be broken. If you're not willing to fast and pray and stand in the gap for that marriage that is breaking down, you're not going to see results. It happens in real life too, in the natural too. You cannot just see solutions manifest out of emotions. Can't. You've got to take concrete steps towards things. In the natural, we would say to a young man, be a man. Be a man and don't run away from situations and circumstances. In the kingdom of God, we are being asked to be sons of God. Understand your destiny. Exercise your authority. Speak forth the witness. Bring forth the promises of God to bear into the situations and circumstances you are faced with. You understand them. Take hold of them. And ask God to bring forth the work that would be incomprehensible to you. Ask God to give you favor. So there is a new proposal to be made. Ask God to give you favor. Don't assume I will not find favor. That because the first proposal failed, therefore it is all finished. Nonsense. Now this is why you have to build your faith. Because your natural man, your fleshly man, will always say it is all over. And God is saying it's not over. I have not finished with you. And you have to rise and walk into it. It takes guts to fight. But you have to receive those guts by the Spirit from the Lion and the Lamb. It's not guts of the flesh. It has to be of the spirit in your heart. You have to be able to battle. Don't let the devil take over your life. You have to say no. Who else is going to say no for your life? If you are not prepared to say no, who else is going to say no to the devil? And if you find it difficult to say no to something because it has become a passion inside of you, a passion of the flesh, then take it to the Lord and ask Him to deal with that passion and break the strongholds of that passion, whether it's alcohol, whether it's women, whether it's whatever it is, anger, whether it's lust, whether it's greed, whatever it is. God has the power to break the yoke. Don't just let your life slip away. You know, as parents, you're making decisions for your children continuously. Just sending your children to church doesn't mean they're going to have a great life. If you are living the wrong life, it's going to impact your children. Definitely it's going to impact your children. So if you don't live right as a father and a mother, your children are going to be affected by that fact. Because sin is hereditary. It is. So deal with it. We have to deal with the problems of life. We have to deal with personal problems. We have to deal with family problems. We have to deal with work situations. We have to deal with things. You can't just brush them under the carpet and expect them to go away. We are a people at war. Now, whether you like it or not, you are in that war. And that war is affecting you. The thief is stealing from you, brother. The thief is robbing your family. That thief is robbing your children of opportunities. What do you want to do about that? The Bible says that Jesus Christ has spoiled the enemy. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 2. From verse 13 to 15. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. What does that mean? By faith, Jesus Christ, and by love, Jesus Christ has opened to you a door to perfection through His faith and His love. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Taken it away. But you must acknowledge that. You must pray the reality. You must go after that reality. Having disarmed principalities and powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So the triumph of Jesus Christ is your inheritance and your possession. Do you want it? Ask God to explain that confidence of this victory into your heart. Because it is part of the mystery of Christ. You cannot intellectually understand that passage of Scripture. It has to be manifested in your inward parts by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. You have to pray and ask for it. You want revelation. You want to learn the Scriptures. You want to preach the Scriptures. You have to pray it into your being. How do you become a man of God? It all involves prayer. What you learn has to be prayed into you. Just because you read the Scripture doesn't mean you can receive what's in the Scripture. You have to pray it through. I pray in tongues. If I have the Scripture in me, it has all come through prayer. It has come through prayer. There are many different kinds of prayer. But everything that God has taught me has come to me through prayer. And nothing has come through the intellect. Nothing has come out of self-exercise of intelligence. It has come out of prayer. It has come. Everything in revelation knowledge comes out of prayer. So you have to pray. There's no question about I can't pray. You have to pray. That's why there is a battle when you want to pray. I mean, if you were to sit down and spend time sitting in front of watching a football game after football game in front of Astro Sports or whatever silly box that we sit down and watch these things before, you can sit down until 2 o'clock in the morning. But at 8 o'clock in the evening, the moment you say you want to pray, immediately you want to go to bed. Suddenly you feel tired. Obviously, there are spiritual forces operating. So what are you going to do? Just say, oh my goodness, I'm feeling sleepy, so that's it. Now you have to fight it. You have to take it to the Lord in prayer and tell Him, I'm feeling sleepy, I have a problem. Lord, can you enable me to overcome this? Get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And pray in tongues and get out of it. I'm not saying it's easy, but it has to be done. It has to be done. Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise for all that you're bringing forth in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that the spirit of prayer is an anointing, Lord. And that anointing is available to us in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus prayed at all kinds of situations and circumstances. He prayed after a hard day's ministry, O God, out in the open, Lord. And we wonder, O Lord, where he got the strength from. He prayed at the Garden of Gethsemane, O God, that your will be done, Father. He prayed even as he surrendered his spirit to you, Father. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He prayed, O God, even as nails were driven into his body. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. He prayed, Father. He prayed. He prayed silently and he prayed audibly, Lord. But he prayed. He always prayed because he knew, Father, that nothing could be done without prayer. Nothing could be done, O God, if he did not bring you into the picture, Lord. And so, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you will manifest into each one of our hearts this spirit of prayer. That you will bring into our hearts, O God, the desire to pray. The desire, O God, to stand in your righteousness. The desire, O God, to belong to you, Father. The desire, O God, to be able to do all things by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. So come, Father. Come, Lord, and bless us, O God, that we may truly, O God, be energized by the Holy Spirit in the spirit and life of Jesus, in the faith and love of Jesus, in the witness and testimony of Jesus, in the nature and character of Jesus, so that we will pray. For Jesus is our inheritance and our possession. It is written. So we pray that you will give us that inheritance and that possession, so that that inheritance and that possession of the fullness of Jesus Christ will be manifested within us, and we will be able to exercise it, Lord, at all times, in every situation and circumstance. We ask this, we pray this, in Jesus' name. Amen.